little Michael Jackson to start off. I think this ties in nicely. Talk about Thriller, you know, some old-timey Halloween stories. The New York Knicks. Bolted together with old parts. They're taken from wherever else.
Wow.
But they've got a functioning and working basketball team. Only undefeated team left. Knock on wood for you, Sir Bricks.
Listen, they're good. As I said, and you know, I said this yesterday on Game On with Bruce Jacobs, 104.5 The Team. You have to wait. They've played. They got San Antonio next. San Antonio. They have San Antonio tonight.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio is already 7-1. The Knicks are 5-0.
Yeah, they've had a very favorable schedule for an old team.
Right. They obviously had the first game rained out to be nice. They had Hurricane Sandy affected the first game. That was canceled, rescheduled. For an old team, I mean, they play on Monday and then they play the following Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had the fatigue. They haven't gone on the West Coast, and they're about to do all of that right now. I think they have 10 games in 16 days. So you'll begin to see if this team can withstand, you know, long road trips, games, you know, two games in 3 days.
Yep.
Exactly. That's when I think the age of this team may be exposed. But what is nice, and what is something that I kind of overlooked, when you talk about your old guys in Rasheed Wallace and Marcus Camby and Kurt Thomas, all those guys essentially play the same position. Rasheed's a bit more offensively inclined than the other two. So they're going to be sharing each other's minutes.
Yep.
So they may take, you know, the fatigue as one unit instead of three separate old guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just one not quite as old guy, because you're dispersing, you know, there's more surface area there.
Right.
For the fatigue. So that actually may help benefit this team as the season goes forward. But I do want to see, I like what I'm seeing from Melo. I like what Melo's saying. And ever since he came to New York, Melo's always said the right thing. He's had the cliche, you know, we're doing this for the team, we got to improve.
But now he's actually doing it. He's backing it up right now.
He's backing it up, and there seems to be more sincerity to it. When I listened to him talk, and I listened to his postgame after the Magic game, and I believed him. I've never believed the guy when he said this thing. I thought that he was earnest. He was a bit candid. So I really like this growth in Carmelo Anthony. A lot of people attribute it to the Olympics. I wasn't buying into it because he was great the last time around in the Olympics.
Yep.
But if he has grown, you know, this team certainly has outperformed my expectations, which is a great thing. They could continue to do it. There are two things to be concerned about: the age, and then also you have the looming inevitable
return of Amari Stoudemire. Right. When he comes back, you're going to have to see how, I mean, Woodson's going to have to do a great job shuffling that up, and we'll see how it happens. I think you look at it, though. I mean, I think this is a team that no matter what, I think will be better than you and I expected. I think they've shown that kind of play, but you have to wait and see with a team like this how they do when the schedule gets tough. Bricks, moving on to the Lakers. If you listened last Sunday, 11 a.m., 104.5 The Team, you heard Bricks say he wanted to see D'Antoni hired over Phil. He thought that was a better fit. I said it was Phil over D'Antoni, close. I still agree, but D'Antoni gets hired.
D'Antoni gets, you know, everybody's shocked, including D'Antoni.
Right.
I just think, first of all, I think that offense will be fantastic. Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard aren't going to just forget how to play defense. That's the biggest thing. Listen, Steve Nash is not going to play defense.
No.
He doesn't know how to play defense.
No.
Amari Stoudemire was never a great defender when he had him in Phoenix and when he had him in New York. And Carmelo Anthony has no interest on his own playing defense. Mm-hmm. So if you have a coach that's not going to enforce defense and you have an offensive star that's not gonna put the onus on him to play defense, you're not going to get any defense. But
right.
When you bring in an offensive-minded guy like D'Antoni and you have perennial all-defensive first-teamers in Ron Artest and Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant, they're going to play defense anyway.
They're going to be fine. And I thought, looking at it before this decision was made, I thought, look, if all things are equal, you can bring in Phil Jackson and his 11 rings and Mike D'Antoni. You bring in Phil Jackson.
Right.
But Mike D'Antoni is a great second option. And if you're the Lakers and you look at this and maybe Phil asks for road trips off and you don't want to give that, I am perfectly fine going with D'Antoni. I got no problem with that. If all things were equal, I think the move for D'Antoni over Phil is suspect, and I look at some of the Bus families, maybe, you know,
decisions within the transition,
right? And they're overall, you know, some of the younger Buses haven't always been comfortable with Phil in terms of he being condescending towards them and
porking their sister.
That might be an issue. Things. It might, amongst some other things.
First of all, your sister's like 50, man, get over it. Except I could see like the old balls thing, the visual. That would be uncomfortable as a sibling. But aside from that, listen, the Zen Master is the Zen Master, but you're not getting, you know, 1996 Phil Jackson.
Right.
You're getting an I don't want to travel, I don't really want to go to practice.
Right. And that's why if you look at that, if you look at that as the Lakers and you say, I don't want a part-time coach, I got no problem with D'Antoni. I thought it's a fine hire.
Yeah, there's the part-time, and the other thing which I love, and the it's used with the Yankees as well, is, you know, you bring up finances and everybody, well, the buses print money. The Lakers print. The buses are running a business. And if you're talking about a guy who doesn't want to go to road games, who's asking for 2 years and $20 million, and you look at a D'Antoni, and maybe you do the checklist and you say, well, Edge definitely goes to Phil, you're still playing Mike Brown. You have to pay Mike Brown whatever he's getting, the $3 million a year.
No, yeah.
So you're already in the red in terms of Mike Brown. And if you want to add 2 years and $20 million to that, or do you want to add 3 years and 12?
Yeah, to me, this was Phil Jackson is choice one. Mike D'Antoni is choice 1B. Not quite 1A, but 1B, we'll take it.
And the one thing I want to say before we move off this, the other thing that people are saying is that Dwight Howard is the odd man out. Dwight Howard loves playing with his back to the basket, yada, yada, yada. Two things. One, Dwight Howard's never had phenomenal post-game moves. Get over yourself there. He's not Patrick Ewing. He's not doing the dream shake with Akeem.
Right.
Two, wait till he gets 20 rebounds and 20 points a night on just putbacks.
And secondly,
get so much garbage off the fact that they have to shoot within 5 to 10 seconds.
And did anyone else think that Dwight Howard was brought here to play offense with Pau Gasol, Steve Nash, and Kobe Bryant?
No, exactly.
He's here to play defense and rebound the ball. That's what he's here to do. He'll do that, and I think the Lakers are going to be great.
You will get plenty of cleanup points.
Speaking of great, by the way, our first little puzzle piece here. Would you like to wax poetic about your boy R.A. Dickey winning the NL Cy Young?
Yes. One could say that the Met fans were victorious last night.
It's funny.
That's the only time you'll use that in a positive way. You never really want to be victorious in any other context. Listen, it was great. I thought he deserved it.
Absolutely.
He won 30% of the Mets' wins. He went, 20-6. He was second in ERA, second in wins, had less losses than Gio Gonzalez had.
Moving on from that, Bricks, the NHL still in lockout. I tried to get an NHL executive on any one of our shows to come talk about this. The response from the NHL was that they like to keep their members talking across the table. They want to keep their focus. They're not going to do any interviews other than post-meeting interviews so that they can keep the focus on across the table negotiations.
AKA, they're all on vacation.
Right, because my
they're not negotiating.
You're not negotiating. There are no across the table negotiations. You're both sitting there like it's just such a disaster. The league is not going to survive. Chances are, at this point, the league has already been dealt a body blow from which they will not recover. They're staring now. They're probably a month away from canceling the entire season. No hockey. Again, as the game was starting, the game wasn't going back to where it was, but it was starting to build. And you've pulled the legs out from under it again, and you are going to cause the death of the NHL because you're idiots and you can't get to...
And
it's
they're not
incompetence.
Even and when they do negotiate, have you ever seen the old Batman one, the Keaton version?
Yes.
When he brings in his date, I can't even think what her name is, Vicky Vale. Is that right?
Possibly, yeah.
Anyway, and they go to that room, and they're sitting having dinner at the really long room, and you can't hear each other.
Right, it's like a 25-foot table
drops,
in between
you
them.
You know what? I don't think I've ever even been in this room before.
Last week, they broke off negotiations after an hour!
And they were just screaming at each other.
Right! It's just, you're just, at some point, someone has to, they have to look at each other and go, all right, look, I understand, but there will be no NHL in this. This has always been the problem with the NHL leadership. They've never been capable of looking at the big picture, and it's going to cost them their league.
It is absolutely going to cost them their league. You know, it's funny because we carry Albany Devil games here, and obviously the Albany Devils is the closest thing that Albany has to a major franchise. Imagine if you were on that team. And Chris Kreider, I believe, does play for the Rangers affiliate mm-hmm. right now. You're trying to make your way to a league that is
that doesn't exist.
It may not exist
going forward.
And that has to affect your play, you know, at the grassroots level. The whole system, the whole foundation of hockey right now is being rattled by the fact that these guys are too stubborn to look at the bigger picture.
And too stupid, by the way. Call it what it is. They're stupid. They can't see beyond the dollars to the fact that they won't have a league to defend soon. I can't deal with it anymore. Moving on. Hope Solo, our girl. I think everyone's girl. You know anyone who doesn't love Hope Solo? No.
Jeremy Stevens.
She was in court earlier in the week because her fiance, about to be husband, apparently abused her. He was charged with domestic violence. I guess no charges were officially filed, but that's what he was in court for. And then they got married later that night. They left the courtroom, got the tuxes and the dress, got married.
Now, what I heard the altercation was that they were going to get married, and it was over whether or not they were going to move to Florida.
Or live in Washington.
Now, I've punched people for less. No, listen.
Look, Nebraska's right in the middle.
There's really
sketchy
details here. From what I've heard, Hope Solo's brother was the person who actually called the authorities. I've also heard that Hope wasn't assaulted. However, Jeremy Stevens was found underneath
with
the
blood.
Bed.
Yeah. And by the way, Jeremy Stevens, this was on, I think, Yardbarker. His rap sheet includes arrest for pot, sexual assault, assault with a deadly weapon, reckless driving, and DUI. Maybe not the husband type.
No.
Maybe we should. Hope, listen. From good guys everywhere, let me just say.
For good guys everywhere.
We won't hit you. We don't raise our fists.
Listen.
We love.
Jeremy Stevens, who, by the way, spells his name Jerramy.
That's a problem.
That's a red flag right there. That is a big time
really?
Red flag.
Really? Because I thought the assault with a deadly weapon would be the red flag of all of them.
The guy played 9 seasons in the NFL. He was a good player. He was a good player. He was on the Seahawks for a while. I have no problem. Listen, if you get caught smoking some weed, that's fine. That's actually legal. There you go. Move to Washington,
that's right.
Jeremy.
Move to Washington. It's problem solved. Get married. Have fun.
Problem is absolutely solved. Sexual assault. Assault with a dead. You don't just overlook that.
Yeah, that's not something you go, oh, he's had a troubled past. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And those probably aren't things you go. You look elsewhere at that point. In other fighting news, Bricks, 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather and their longstanding friendship has ended. And a celebrity boxing promoter is trying to get him in the ring together
for $5 million. He won't fight Manny Pacquiao for $50 million, but he'll fight 50 Cent for $5 million. I hope he fights Manny Pacquiao. I don't really care about 50.
I hope that he shows up for the fight, and instead of 50, just Pacquiao walks out and beats his ass.
That would be fantastic. A little tomfoolery there. Listen, I hope 50 beats his ass. How phenomenal would that be?
Let's handicap that. Who wins? I mean, 50's got the size and the reach.
50 definitely has
the
size.
You got to expect Mayweather to get that done, right?
There's something in 50's vitamin water that ain't in mine. I'll tell you that right now. That guy is gigantic. I'm going to take 50 in this. I'm taking 50 over Floyd Money.
I think you're getting caught up in emotion here. You're seeing it how you want. You're not seeing the
Floyd Money
the pound
is never
for pound
he's never
champ.
Been a pound for pound. That's where your argument goes.
All right, I understand, but it's not like he's fighting Vitaly Klitschko, a guy Klitschko's size. He's still I mean 50's got some muscle, but
Fitty's been shot. 9
it's
times.
True. I was just gonna say I bet 50's got a bit of a glass chin, but he did get shot
9 times.
All right, I'll take 50. It's cover 2.